My favorite line in this text is, "Have you understood all of this?" And they answered, just like my confirmation class, "Yes."
This last week, I had the honor of attending, or 2 weeks ago, my first ELCA rostered ministers gathering in Phoenix, Arizona. In typical ELCA fashion, we managed to schedule the event when Phoenix was in the midst of setting daytime record temperatures and, of course, the highest nighttime low ever recorded in modern Arizona history. 97 degrees was the low. There were more than a few jokes there about the fact that there were many Lutheran clergy gathered together in temperatures so closely resembling those described in Dante's Inferno. But I'll leave the interpretation of that up to you, how that all worked out. Well, I was reading the text for this morning a couple of weeks ago as I sat waiting for the first plenary session to begin. And, you know, as one does, now, to be honest, I've been a clergy person for 35 years nearly, and I actually don't know that many clergy people. But I thought, I'm going to look around and see if there's anyone I know, because sometimes they show up. So I was sort of looking around and not really seeing anybody among the 700 clergy and deacons who were there for this event. And as I swept my gaze around the room, I was struck by a couple of things. Naturally, the crowd was largely white and in the last third of their life. But as I swept around looking at all of the people who were there, I noticed more young people and more people of color than I had ever seen before. I was delighted by the number of people freely expressing their gender identity as trigender or queer, transgender. There were people there wearing every kind of clothing and makeup, and all these are all pastors, by the way, because you couldn't get in unless you had the tag. There were t-shirts reminding all and sundry that they were a safe pastor. So they have the transgen t-shirts that says, "You are loved, I am a safe pastor." And as I was reading the parable of the treasure hidden in a field, out of the corner of my eye, I saw someone who was wearing an official name tag, so they were definitely a clergy or deacon, dressed in a full Jedi costume. He went by me a little too fast for me to determine whether or not he had a lightsaber, but I'm pretty sure he did. And I thought to myself, so that's where God has been hiding the kingdom of heaven. Here's what I mean by that. It was not that many years ago that everyone in that room representing the clergy of our church would have looked like Pastor Don and I. Pretty much everyone. Am I right? All older men, largely, definitely all men at one point. And over the last 35, 40 years, we have seen women and all kinds of people come into the church to take the mantle of leadership in their congregations. We look different these days. And I thought, what is God up to in that? That we have begun to change not only in our leadership, but in who sits in the pews in these days. We've made all kinds of decisions about the kingdom of heaven as best we could, sort of recognizing that God was up to something that we wanted to be a part of. We as a church have made decisions that have become exceedingly unpopular, blasphemous, outside of the gospel. I've even heard the word treacherous and dangerous. One of my proudest moments in the ministry was years ago as I was doing my work in advocacy for LGBTQ+ trans pastors being ordained in our church. I was told, "You are destroying our church." It was a proud moment. So as I was reading these texts for today, I began to wonder, what is it that we think the kingdom of God will look like? Will it look like any of the things that we had in our parables for today? I mean, these are almost nonsensical in some ways, but there's an incredible truth in the midst of it. That the kingdom of God, the dominion of heaven, is like a treasure hidden in a field. Something hidden. Something that's supposed to be momentous and giant, that we're all supposed to see God marching with angels into history to change all things to be what we expect. Problem is that we forgot to ask God if that's what God had in mind. This dominion of God, this unconditional love, this unfolding vision of God's presence is hidden like a treasure in a field, which we find, and I firmly believe that in fact the person in this gospel lesson was Lutheran, because he found it and quickly reburied it as quickly as he could. But then goes and sells everything to get it. I hope that the story of the young man who comes and visits Jesus, the rich young ruler, rings in your head. When he comes and asks Jesus, "What must I do to gain eternal life?" And Jesus says, you know, "Because I've kept the law." He says, "I've done everything that I could possibly do." And Jesus says, "Well, then just give all that you have to the poor." And he went away very sad. And the dominion of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearl, and on finding that pearl of great value, goes and sells everything he has and buys it. The dominion of God is worth that much. And it's like a net that gets thrown out into the sea and every kind of fish gets caught. This is actually one of my favorite ones because church people love this text. The fish all get caught and they get all brought in, and so it will be at the end of the ages that the good will be put into baskets and the bad will be thrown out. The problem is we think it's our job to sort the net. Which is why for most of the history of our church, women have not been clergy. And gay people have not been invited into full life into the church. Because we made the mistake of thinking it was our job to sort out the kingdom of God. And it's not. So it turns out that this kingdom of God really has more to do with what God is up to than what we are up to. You see, that's where God has been hiding the kingdom of God all along. It's been in plain sight in the very people who love God. Paul, in his long-winded diatribe in Romans, really hits on it. It's a little bit hard to find. That God searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit and gifts us with that. And then one of those misused gospel lessons. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to God's purpose. And what we think that means is that when things are going good, then the gospel, then the kingdom of God must be here, right? That's how it's been misinterpreted. How do we know that the kingdom of God is here? Well, everything's going well. But that's not it. The kingdom of God is hidden in and through our loneliness and our pain and our fear and our anxiety. It's just that sometimes we can't see it. We can't see it because of our stubbornness or our pride or our hopefulness or because, frankly, we just want the kingdom to look a certain way and it's rather inconvenient when it doesn't. But God has a great sense of humor. God keeps putting pearls and coins and treasures and hides them right in our very midst for us to discover. And every once in a while, I think maybe we get it right. And we start to experience the transformative nature of God's kingdom, even in our own life, in our own church, in our own world. You see, God is always up to something. The kingdom is always coming into being, whether we like it or not. It's like the mustard seed that can't be contained, the little tiny seed that comes out and does its work. As Paul Eldred says, he says, and how God's kingdom is growing something so prized, and it's such a treasure of great value that we want to give all of our possessions and all of our effort and all of our life for its fruition. Amy Lindeman Allen says that in Romans 28 that we know all things work together for good and those who love God are called according to God's purpose. The intended implication is that even in the midst of all the bad in the world, hardship or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril or sword, our God of steadfast love continues to work good. And I would add, in us and in the world. So as we look in these days to come for the kingdom in our midst, it is difficult to see it at times. Paul says that I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, and I would add, or pandemics, or apathy, or hopelessness, or low attendance in church, or low income in church, or a changing world, or the hatred of people who have decided that only white male people matter, or the rise of white national Christian nationalism. None of those things can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Because none of those things have anything to do with Jesus. And in the midst of them, in the midst of all of those horrible things, God plants the kingdom. A mustard seed, a pearl, a coin of great worth. And from that seed, from that small hidden place, I truly believe the world will be transformed. That justice and mercy and love will grow like a mustard seed. That somehow the treasure that is hidden in a field will become a treasure that is available for everyone. That treasure of love and peace and hope and dignity. I believe that that's what the kingdom of God looks like. At the end of the conference, I was out in so they bought too much food, which is very atypical, by the way, of the ELCA. It's generally a bag of chips for every 100 people. But for some reason, they had all of this abundant food outside. And I thought, this is what grace looks like. All the Hershey bars you can have. But I thought to myself as I watched people leave that thing, that there is hope for the church. There's hope for the church because I saw men in dresses. I saw old ladies dressed in muus. I saw all kinds of people walking around having just sung the glory of God, ready to return to their congregations to help all of their folks. Go look for that hidden treasure of the kingdom. That hidden treasure of the gospel. And out of the corner of my eye, standing on the far end, getting some Fritos, was Luke Skywalker. And I thought, that is where God has hidden the kingdom. Amen. Our worship continues with the hymn of the day. Please rise as you are able.